Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Great time.
May God bless you.
Today, we're going to kind of put a period on the book of Proverbs in our study there. And we're going to kind of move on. I normally like to do expository teaching. Today, we're going to do more of a thematic thing. It's kind of weird for me. I don't normally follow like the regular calendar, but a couple things happened this past week. Number one, I got to hear a presentation by a gentleman named David Barton, who is a tremendous resource. He got into studying history. He's a math teacher and then a principal. And then while he was doing his principal work, he went to a garage sale and happened to purchase an old box of books. And in those box of books were the private library of one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. And so he read the personal letters and the writings of this person and said, wait a minute, this doesn't sound like what they taught me in history. And then he began to do some more research and he began to gather more and more information. Now he has a huge, one of the largest collections of memorabilia and personal belongings of individuals who were actual signers of the Declaration of Independence. And, you know, contrary to personal belief and what a lot of people, you know, push out, oh, they were just deists. Oh, for every deist, he counts that there were five, what we would call evangelical Christians. And when you read their personal writings, sometimes they get classified and they get characterized as one thing that was the press to try to move spirituality from our nation's heritage. But these individuals, when you read their private writings, many, many, many of them were extremely devout followers of Jesus Christ and proclaimed that in their personal writings as well as other writings. But let's quickly put finalize a couple things as we journey out of the book of Proverbs. Again, a couple things for you to remember so that the book of Proverbs will be good and useful in your life. Number one, again, it's one of the three books of wisdom. And as we understand that, we know that it has two mates, Job and Ecclesiastes. And so Proverbs is, they all balance each other out. And so it's good. And a lot of people don't like to read Job because you feel like you read Job, you get depressed. No, it's a balancing out. Ecclesiastes is important. As I've said several times, Proverbs gives us probabilities. If you do these things, it's not promises. And a lot of people think they read Proverbs as promises, that if I do this, this is guaranteed to happen. No, it's about probabilities. It gives us wisdom and morality that if we embrace this wonderful morality that God offers us is a reflection of Him embracing these things, puts you in the most likely position for success while limiting your exposure to failure. But as we try to find out what does this mean, it gives us themes of working hard and resisting being a sluggard, not being lazy, being honest and virtuous and humble and faithful in our pursuit of God, in our interactions with our fellow man, and most of all, to fear God. And we talked about that at length last week, to fear God and embrace God's wisdom. Now, when we partner this up with the other two books, Ecclesiastes lets us know that trying to find the meaning of life outside of the fear of the Lord is kind of pointless. That we can search and search and search and search and search, but at the end, we come back to the very beginning. That the fear of the Lord is an essential piece there. And then we look at Job, which lets us know here we've understanding about probabilities, about, you know, you do this. But the fact is, Job shows us that tough stuff happens to good, God-fearing people. And there's this sense that when something goes wrong in our life or tragedy strikes or a difficult time comes, somehow, oh God, you must be mad at me. Oh God, no, sometimes, because we live in a fallen world, difficult things happen. And so this is important, and most books try to downplay some things that the book of Proverbs, most current philosophy tries to pull this out, but it's all about wisdom. And many things I know that we do now as a nation, I believe are foolish. Would anybody agree with that? We live in the state of Illinois. Yes. We understand that there's some foolishness that happens. And you know, there were some very profound contributions that God-fearing people had in the beginning of our nation, although history tries to downplay that. We have organizations that are trying to strip our rich Christian influence from our understanding of our nation's history. But may I remind you a few of them this morning as we prepare to celebrate the 4th of July. Now, Proverbs 4:7 is a wonderful, wonderful proverb. It says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. You like this little picture here? Any idea where that comes from? This is with that verse, Proverbs 4:7. This is on the back wall of the Library of Congress in the Jefferson Building North Corridor. Okay? And so we see that there's something. Now what's hit the next slide if you would please. Now, this is the bottom part of I didn't take the top part because there's some interesting things there, but you can Google it and see. It's called Anarchy, and this is a painting that's over the reading room central door at the Library of Congress. And it's titled, Corrupt Legislation Leads to Anarchy. Now, it's interesting because the top of the figure, one of the two figures representing anarchy, is trying to light fire to a scroll. And this scroll is the scroll of wisdom. Wow, what I have there in the picture, they're stomping on the Holy Bible. Interesting. In the Library of Congress, you know, that they have this understanding that civilization is ruined when we try to burn down truth and wisdom and we try to stomp on Holy Scripture. Isn't that ironic for this day and age? What a prophetic painting. The more we strip away our godly heritage and our understanding of the place of Scripture in our lives, the more it leads to anarchy. Above the main reading room, there's several figures, and one of them is the figure of religion. And we see here it has a quote from Micah 6:8. What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? It's in the Library of Congress. Now, if you go around a few more, there's actually the figure of science. And above that is actually a quote from Psalm 19:1 that says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth its handiwork. So there's some pretty powerful statements made here in the Library of Congress. And if you take a tour of Washington, it's amazing how many things that are there that really push towards our nation's godly heritage. But I'd like to kind of reflect something in a very famous song that I'd like to sing for you. And I'm going to just do the first and fourth verse, but listen to the fourth verse. It's a song I'm sure you know, but maybe you haven't heard these words in this song. You turn the drums on, please. I know he's had enough stage time today. We're not going to give him any more. Here we go. All right, this is a song you guys I'm sure have sung before. My country 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside led free kingdom, let it ring. Now listen to these lyrics. Our Father's God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King, our King. Great God, our King. Probably haven't focused a whole lot on that fourth verse. I know it's not pushed out too. Our Father's God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God and King. You see, gang, there's a whole lot that we don't know. As I was listening to David Barton and more of what he discussed, he was challenging. He said, you know, there were several things that used to happen in our nation, in our nation's founding. Before you would go to, in the first 8 years of your schooling, every year, every single year, you were required to study the Declaration of Independence. You're required to study Washington's farewell address, and you're required to know an understanding of all of the individuals who signed the Declaration of Independence, as well as their life stories. You understood these things. And now that we don't know most of those things, in fact, I bet we would struggle, you know, in all of us together to come up with probably half of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. When we know these things, it's important for us to understand. In fact, this is not just reflected in some of our songs and in a little bit of our architecture, but if we go to the Declaration of Independence, we see some pretty fascinating things. In fact, there are four references to God in the Declaration of Independence, which is, you know, kind of the founding document of our nation. The Declaration of Independence states, it refers to God as the Creator. It says, all people are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It says that God is our Creator. It is God who created us. And because of that, we have this understanding that's a reflection of the beliefs of those who frame the Declaration of Independence. We find out that God is referred to as our lawgiver. It says that when in the course of human events, this is from the Declaration of Independence, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with one another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. So it's a reflection that God is the lawgiver. And because God has given these laws, in those laws, He gives us the right to freedom. This is a beautiful thing. It's a powerful. And some of you right now are like, why are you talking about this? It's a separation of church and state. Look, we can say whatever we want here in our halls, and we need to know our history, gang. We really need to know our history. I personally believe it's being actively and intentionally pulled out. If you go and you try to look at the difference of how and why things are taught, and we wonder why we're ignorant to some of our rich Christian heritage, why don't we know that the majority of folks who created and signed the Declaration of Independence were, in fact, what we would call evangelical? Goes on to say that we see that God is the judge. Another quote from the Declaration of Independence. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions. They're saying here in our foundational documents, referring to God as the Supreme Judge. Goes on, do in the name and the authority of the good people of these colonies solemnly publish and declare that these United colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states. Goes on to say, for the support of this declaration, we, listen to this, with a firm reliance on the protector of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Right there saying, look, we are dependent upon the protection of divine providence. In other words, Almighty God, that He is our protector. He's our judge and He is our protector. This sentiment has resounded throughout the history of our nation. One of the greatest songs when we're talking about this genre was written by Irving Berlin, who lived from 1888 to 1889, or 1989. And he was a Russian Jewish immigrant. And while he was in the United States Army, he did some writing. And the Library of Congress document calls his song "God Bless America." You remember Irving Berlin, right? I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Yeah, right. It says that that as he wrote this song, and it was taken by Kate Smith, who was at the time one of the number one singers, and they brought this together. And they sang this song. Now, I love "God Bless America," and it's pretty interesting that now we can sing it at ball games and things like that. But if you try to sing it at school, you're in trouble. But would you join me, and we all sing together as a prayer for our nation? This song, ready? God bless America. Land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white with foam, God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. Amen, amen, amen. May God bless our nation. You can be seated. How many of you have heard of the Liberty Bell? Yeah, how many of you have actually seen the Liberty Bell? You know why it's called the Liberty Bell? Because it rings liberty for the nation. Actually, the reason it's called the Liberty Bell is because inscribed around the top, which I never knew this, is Leviticus 25:10. That's why it's called the Liberty Bell, because Leviticus 25:10 says, proclaim liberty throughout the land to the inhabitants, all the inhabitants thereof. So yes, it is about the liberty of our country, but it is very interesting that they have a quote from Leviticus, the book of Leviticus. This is really something. In 1787, the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia, Benjamin Franklin, which people can certainly argue, you know, where was Franklin's faith? Was he a Christian? Was he a deist? But he declares this very clearly. He says, God governs. This is a quote from Franklin. In fact, he was saying this at the Constitutional Convention, and while they were having this, an author wrote that Franklin didn't sound like an elder statesman, but sounded like a fiery preacher as he felt this anointing come upon him. But he inspired the people with this. This is from Franklin. It says that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? Without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. From Benjamin Franklin. You see, from 1787 to 1788, the states were to gather around to ratify the Constitution of our nation. And we have documented that it began with prayer at each meeting, and they even met in several churches as they tried to go around and get a consensus on this. And in 1789, once Congress had finished drafting the First Amendment, it requested President Washington to declare a national day of prayer and thanksgiving. He declared it, "It's the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor." Well, you're just talking about certain points. You know, what I find interesting is nowadays when they have a coverage of Congress, specifically in the House of Representatives, you always see the Speaker's desk, and there's always the picture of the Speaker's desk, the two pillars on either side, and the flag behind them. But what they cut off is what's ahead right on top of that, which is a statement, "In God we trust." Interesting editing that always irritates me when I see that. As if. There are 23 marble portraits of the lawgivers representing some of the greatest input throughout all world history. Individuals who have contributed. And these 23 marble statues, 22 of them are in profile, and they surround the halls of the House of Representatives. But on the very back wall, the central figure is Moses, the lawgiver. Every other of the 23, all the other 22 portraits are profiles. But Moses is a full face looking directly at the Speaker of the House and the Speaker's podium. Just recently, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spoke to the House, and he referenced this in the back, as he pointed out. And for some of us, it's sad that a foreign dignitary points out some of our history that we're afraid to talk to one another about. Shame on us. Shame on us for not doing our due diligence. Well, preacher, this doesn't sound like a sermon. Sounds like you're running for office. No, I'm not. Trust me. The deal is, we have incredible blessings that we have been given, that have been handed down. And I fear that sometimes we get quite apathetic. And that we have, with blessings come responsibility. With freedom comes responsibility. How did this happen? This didn't randomly happen. This sculpture, this architecture, it didn't just randomly happen, gang. It's intentional. And so now, as we struggle and we try to purge and we try to remove the Ten Commandments from our law buildings, I say that maybe, perhaps, we should question that judgment. Second Chronicles chapter 7, 14 through 15 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and I will heal their land." I'd like to sing to you another one of our nation's most beloved songs, "America the Beautiful." Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains' majesty, above the fruited plain, America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood,
from sea to shining sea. From sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for pilgrim feet whose stern impassioned stress a thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God mend thine every flaw. Confirm thy soul with self-control, thy liberty in law, thy liberty in law. Oh, beautiful, for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy goal refine, till all success be nobleness and every gain divine, and every gain divine. Oh, beautiful for patriotry that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster city's name, undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, from sea to shining sea. Everybody, America, 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 God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
And finally, I'd like to conclude as we read from Washington's Prayer for the Nation. And I'd like to ask everybody to stand together and just reflect. What's interesting in Washington's farewell address, something that's actually not studied very much anymore, Washington gave five pieces of counsel for this nation as he continued to move on. He said the first piece of advice was to remain united and resist the tendency that we have to divide ourselves, whether it be by region or, listen, by political affiliation. that we should be one nation together. To avoid, to watch out for those things that separate and divide us. The second thing he reminded us is that we have a right to amend the Constitution. The third thing is to remind us that there are checks and balances and separations of power in our nation. The fourth thing is to be very careful and be warned about long-term alliances with foreign entities. And the fifth thing, talk about irony of ironies, is to be careful about getting yourself in debt as a nation. Yeah. All right, and I get that for some of us, it's like, look, this is too civics oriented, not enough scripture oriented. But I believe that God has had His hand in the foundation, the development, the establishment, the continuation of our nation. And as Washington himself said, may we kind of close our time and our discussion here together. I'd invite you to join, and that we read and pray this together. Would you join me? I now make it my earnest prayer that God would have the United States in His holy protection, that He would incline the hearts of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to government, to entertain a brotherly affection and love for one another, for their fellow citizens of the United States at large, and particularly for the brethren who have served in the field, and finally, that He would most graciously be pleased to dispose to us all to do justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with that charity, humanity, and pacific temper of mind that were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion, and that without an humble imitation of whose example in these things, we can never hope to be a happy nation.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.